I'll bring it back. No other comments. We'll move to the next item. Number 18 is public hearing, adoption of the consolidated grants program and regional transportation improvement program. Staff report.
Chair.
Before you begin, I need to recuse myself due to a conflict of interest.
Thank you for letting us know. And Commissioner. Sorry.
Jensen.
I live within 500 feet of one of the proposed projects in Capitola, and I'll be recused myself because of potential financial interest.
Thank you. Thank you for letting us know. Go ahead, staff report.
Oh, almost there I am. Hi. Good morning, commissioners, members of the community. My name is Rachel Marconi. I'm one of your senior planners here at the RTC. And before you today is a large decision on how to spend about $15 million of state and federal funding that is under the discretion of the Santa Cruz County Regional Transportation Commission. These funding sources include a combination of state transportation improvement program funds, which we propose projects to the California Transportation Commission, and then they have the ultimate say on which projects throughout the state get funded and in what years those get funded. We also have some federal funds that come to California, and because we're a smaller county, we're able to exchange them for state cash, and that's the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program, which locally we call the Regional Surface Transportation Program Exchange. And then we also have some funding from Senate Bill 1, which is the Local Partnership Program Formula funds. Those funds come to our county and are split between Santa Cruz Metro and the RTC because our voters approved the Measure D sales tax. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't receive. For RTC, it's about $300,000 a year of funding. We also have discretion over the State Transit Assistance Program funding. These, again, are formula funds. The RTC programs currently the majority of the funds to Santa Cruz Metro, but when Senate Bill 1 was approved in 2017, it boosted the amount of funding available for the State Transit Assistance Program. So the commission at that time decided to set aside a small portion of the funds. In this case, it's 15% of fiscal year 25-26 funds and 20% of 26-27 funds to add to our competitive pool of projects. We also receive some low carbon transportation operations and protection program funds. These funds are generated through the cap and trade program, the state's cap and trade program, and our annual shares of that end up being about $650,000 a year. So we also added those to this pool of money. So in total, those funds that are currently available for programming are $15 million. We consolidate all of these funding sources together to expedite the process and make it easier for project sponsors to only submit one application so the commission can look at a comprehensive investment strategy for these funds. And it also provides us with some of the flexibility to determine if a project is a better fit for the State Transportation Improvement Program, for instance, or if it really needs the simpler Regional Surface Transportation Program exchange funds. In addition to these funds, the California Transportation Commission has alerted us that we could ask for an advance of our fiscal year 2031 and 32 STIP funds, and that total is estimated to be about $2.8 million. There are some restrictions around those funds. For one thing, it would require other counties in the state not to ask for their full STIP, current STIP shares of funds, and also they would be subject to prioritization by the California Transportation Commission, which include projects that reduce greenhouse gas emissions that are on the interregional rail or highway system, things like that. So in our county, of the projects that were proposed, the projects that seem like they could be a decent fit for that and meet the CTC's bar might be construction of segment 8 through 11, 8 and 9 of the rail trail, the Zeppert project, for instance. Next slide, please. Who applied for funds? So we issued a call for projects. We had workshops on the funding program, and we received applications from all of the cities in Santa Cruz County, the County of Santa Cruz, Santa Cruz Metro, Ecology Action, the University of California at Santa Cruz, as well as RTC. In total, we received 26 applications requesting $66 million of funds. As a reminder, our call for projects included $15 million worth of funds. So now the challenge is, how do we decide which of those outstanding projects and needs in our community are funded? The next slide shows you a summary of the types of projects that each of those, the collective projects, advance. So about 24% of the funding requests were for transit-related components of projects, 20% were for pavement preservation, 45% for bike and ped, and then the balance for things like signal timing, transportation system management programs, electric vehicle conversions. So I'm going to just quickly, the next two slides, go one more, discuss one more slide, Yesenia, the projects that we received applications for. So for the city of Capitola, they submitted an application for the Bay Avenue corridor redesign. This is just for the design phase of the project. It includes adding additional curb ramps for folks with wheelchairs, changing the way the lanes are structured, adding roundabouts, adding buffered bicycle facilities, and staff recommends $500,000 for this project that would help advance bicycle and pedestrian access and safety. Capitola also submitted an application for a complete street sidewalk infill. This is adding sidewalks in many locations in the city that currently lack ADA accessible sidewalks, and staff recommended $650,000 for that pedestrian project. For the city of Santa Cruz, that, as previously discussed, there is a funding gap for the Coastal Rail Trail Segments 8 and 9 project. They requested $10 million. After looking at the overall funding proposals, they requested that any funding for the trail projects be focused on the pre-design funds, which was an application submitted by the Regional Transportation Commission to keep that project moving forward and maintain those active transportation program funds. The city also submitted a multimodal project application for the Prospect Heights neighborhood on several roads there and for the Bay Avenue paving project, which, while their funding request was just for repaving Bay Avenue, which is a road heavily used by the Santa Cruz Metro buses, it ties into some of their other multimodal projects that are funded through other grant programs, non-RTC grants. In the city of Scotts Valley, next slide, Scotts Valley submitted one application for the Granite Creek overcrossing over Highway 17. This project was previously partially funded by the Regional Transportation Commission. This includes upgrading the overpass for bicycle and pedestrian facilities, and staff recommends adding an additional $650,000 for that project. In the city of Watsonville, we received three applications. One is for Clifford Avenue Road Rehab and Traffic Calming. This is a multimodal project in this connecting two major parts of Watsonville, and staff recommends funding that project at $850,000. Watsonville also requested funding for the Freedom Boulevard Road Rehabilitation and Traffic Calming Multimodal Project. Again, this is another heavily used metro bus route, and staff recommends funding that project at $1.6 million. And then City of Watsonville also submitted an application for its Pennsylvania Drive Trail Rehabilitation Project. Anyone who's been out on Pennsylvania has seen that this trail that was built several years ago is in great disrepair. It is coned off in many areas and similar to roadways, sometimes needs some rehab because even paths can get potholes. In the county of Santa Cruz, we received applications for two roadway rehabilitation projects. These didn't integrate any of the complete streets elements that were identified in the active transportation plans for those projects, so they did not rank as high as other projects that were proposed. But their Soquel Drive multimodal project was one of the highest scoring applications received, and staff recommends funding the pre-construction work of that project with $3.8 million. This funding is needed, and this work needs to happen for this project in order for it to maintain its Senate Bill 1 significant grants that were received earlier this year. The county also requested funds to do some EV conversion at some of its maintenance yard, and staff did not recommend funding for that project. It did not score as high as other projects. For Ecology Action, Ecology Action has a program where they go into second and fifth grader classrooms throughout the county to provide educational tools to second graders on how to cross the street, look in both ways, kind of the standard stuff that not everyone remembers how to learn that and how to ride their bike safely. If anyone's never gone to one of these workshops, I highly recommend tagging along with Ecology Action. They're, it's really fun to watch the kids learn these things that are, come naturally to some of us. Staff recommends $100,000 for that program. For the city, for Santa Cruz Metro Transit District, we're excited that Metro is looking at reintroducing the bus route 90X, which is express service between Watsonville and Santa Cruz. It would utilize the new red bus only lanes on Highway 1. And so we recommend full funding for that project, as well as full funding for their Beach Street parking lot project down in Watsonville, which it would provide a facility for Metro to store its buses down here. It's repaving that facility. And it also would allow Metro to reduce some of their deadhead time between their main bus facility in the city of Santa Cruz for bus routes that start in Watsonville every morning. My peer at Metro put it, the less exciting project, the ugly dog of them all, is the software upgrade, which is just to make sure that their maintenance and operation of and scheduling of drivers keeps working efficiently. And we are recommending $200,000 for that project. Metro requested 3 years of funding for the HASTIS software upgrade. We only have 2 years of state transit assistance funding that we're currently programmed, and they had proposed that STA funds be proposed there. So if the commission were to decide to fund that, staff, I would recommend that we, you know, consider 2 years of funding for that program rather than all three, and we can consider the third year during the next programming cycle. Metro is also looking to replace several of their pair crews vans, and staff recommends full funding for that project. On behalf of the RTC, we did propose some of the RTC's projects that we are lead on or coordinating. This includes the Felton SLV Schools Complete Streets Enhancements Project. The RTC did approve some STIP funding for this project in a prior cycle. However, as Caltrans has developed the their capital maintenance project, as well as some complete streets improvements in there, they have identified some cost shortfalls in order for all of the complete streets components that have been identified by the community as priorities to be implemented. The RTC will need to fill that funding gap either with consolidated grant funds or through the Measure D program. If we use Measure D funds instead, that does reduce the amount of the $10 million total available for other projects in San Lorenzo Valley. We also put forward on behalf of the City of Santa Cruz and the County of Santa Cruz an application for $8 million to fill the funding gap for the pre-construction of segments 8 through 11. Staff recommends $4 million of that $8 million be funded through the Consolidated Grant Program and the balance to be funded through the Measure D program. Again, if this isn't funded through the consolidated grants, it would reduce the amount of Measure D available for other projects, other trail projects in Measure D. We also put forward an application to continue work on the zero emission passenger rail and trail environmental analysis, and staff recommends designating, instead of actually programming, because we can't program STIP funds that if a phase of work is not fully funded, to designate $2.8 million of our future STIP shares for that. And that would allow staff to go after other grants for the full funding of the environmental phase of work. Finally, the University of California at Santa Cruz submitted two applications. One was to add high-speed EV chargers at the base of campus. Staff did not recommend funding that project this cycle. And then they also are cobbling together funding from a variety of different funding sources to buy another electric bus on campus. And staff recommended providing some funding, $262,000 for that project. Next slide. So the staff recommendations are based on how projects ranked in consideration of evaluation criteria that were approved by the board in June. We also considered input from your three advisory committees, as well as the equity work group. And we also considered funding constraints and timing and when different projects would be ready to go and which funding source made the most sense for them. The staff recommendations include a combination of large transformational projects as well as regional and local priorities. So just as a quick refresher, some of the evaluation criteria approved by the board in June, which came to fruition after considering what's included in our regional transportation plan as far as our goals and policies, as well as requirements for each of these funding sources, whether it's the State Transportation Improvement Program, the federal guidance on performance metrics. And these, you know, grossly are summarized as providing access for everyone. So this is oftentimes projects that include transit, bicycle, pedestrian facilities, making things ADA compliant, system performance, making our transportation system work more efficiently, reducing crashes and improving safety, preserving our existing transportation network, advancing health for our community, and considering where projects are located and addressing historic disparities. And then also climate change and resiliency. Would the project reduce how much we drive? Will it reduce emissions? Things like that. Some of the other factors that we considered were they consistent with complete streets requirements of the state and policies that were adopted by each of the local jurisdictions and plans? Are they leveraging other funds? Are these funds needed to maintain other funds? That was also a major consideration in our staff recommendations. We also looked at the public engagement process that local agencies had gone through to identify these priorities and what their plan is moving forward to really engage the community in the design of these projects. We also considered project readiness and the overall scale of the benefits. How many people are going to use that facility on a daily basis, for instance, in comparison to the cost? So briefly, just here's a list of the projects that ranked the highest in consideration of those criteria. All of these are recommended for funding, with the exception of number 10, which is the Coastal Rail Trail Segment 8 and 9 construction, because as I mentioned earlier, city staff from the city of Santa Cruz would like that funding focused on the pre-construction phase for now. These aren't the only projects recommended, as I mentioned earlier. They're all listed in attachment two. I will just briefly, next slide, touch on the committee recommendations. The bicycle, all of the committee recommendations are described in attachment two. Sorry, the staff recommendations are in attachment one, which is exhibit A to the resolution. The bike committee recommended what had previously been called scenario one, and it prioritized, and they asked that the commission prioritize projects in Watsonville and San Lorenzo Valley that also benefit bicyclists. The Elderly Disabled Transportation Advisory Committee did not recommend a specific list of projects, but recommended that the board support transit and pedestrian access, projects that integrate complete streets and universal design, provide access for all, improve safety for pedestrians, and preserve existing pedestrian and transit facilities, as well as projects that would preserve other grant funds. The Interagency Technical Advisory Committee, which is made up of county and city staff from our local agencies, as well as some of our regional partners. They recommended a mix of funding that is shown in attachment to it. It includes funding for some of the county road rehabilitation projects and full funding for metro projects and reduced funding for cities as compared to the staff recommendation. Your Transportation Equity Work Group recommends that the board prioritize projects that benefit historically underserved, marginalized, or disadvantaged communities, projects that improve safety and that increase transit service and access. So I'm going to read through a summary of the staff recommendations, which are shown three different places. But this morning, we are recommending that you consider the recommendations from staff and your committees, as well as supplemental recommendations, which were distributed as a handout from about half of the commissioners. Also, in advance of making a decision, we recommend that you consider public comments. There are several letters that were included as attachment 3 in the packet, and we also distributed as a handout additional comments received, and we recommend that you hold a public hearing after I am done with my staff report and answering any of your questions to hear more from the public on their input, and then to adopt a resolution which includes approving a list of project, designating future STIP shares for the Zeppert project, requiring project sponsors to go back to our advisory committees prior to final design of their projects to receive input, especially from the Bicycle Committee and the Elderly and Disabled Transportation Advisory Committee, to make sure that some final design features really address the needs of bicyclists and pedestrians and people mobility devices. Staff would then, after your decision on which projects to fund, will work closely with the local jurisdictions and project sponsors to determine which color of money or funding source makes the most sense for each project. We did include in our staff recommendation a list of some of the potential project funding sources that might be available for some of those projects. There are certain funding sources we can only use on transit. There are certain funding sources we can only use on projects that meet California Transportation Commission requirements, et cetera. And then project sponsors will be required to follow rules. Yesenia, you can skip to the next two. And then we'll amend our budget also as part of this action. So if you would like, I can share the alternative commissioner's recommendation now, or would you guys prefer to do that after the public hearing?
I think right now it's a good time.
Okay. And actually, maybe I should turn it over to one of you to present it if you want to share what that is. But I put a summary and slides with all of the requests there.
Oh, go ahead. Commissioner Keeley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of staff. Thank you very much. It was an excellent presentation. I think you have captured the high priority and most important values for the various submitters on this. A lot of thought was given to the lot of thought that you put into this. And in large part, I think what the commissioners who are signed on to this letter are trying to do here is take what we consider a very objective process that you folks have engaged in, and with our sense of our responsibilities, make some changes to that. And so the recommendation in front of you, when we get to that point, will end up being to make some relatively minor changes, $191,000 on regional transportation STIP planning and some changes to phase two of the county emergency routes, make some changes there. But the idea is essentially staying true to the basic values that you showed on that screen, where I think you had 6 or 7 values that drive the appropriation of these funds. It was said earlier, don't wish to debate the point about, you know, whether Santa Cruz gets too much or too little over the years. But the thinking of the city of Santa Cruz here is that to, in our estimation, more fairly and appropriately respond to questions around equity and priorities throughout the 4 cities and the county, it makes sense for us this time in this cycle to forego the city asking essentially for any appropriations in this, which then frees up funding to be able to address other issues in the other three cities and the county and Metro and UCSC. What I'd like to do, if it's all right, Mr. Chairman, is may we take, this has been in the public domain now for several days. Perhaps what we could do is take public comment, and then I think any one of us who are signed on to the letter will be glad to make a motion at the appropriate time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So any commissioner comments currently? Commissioner Martinez?
Yes, this is a question regarding a comment that was made by the presenter regarding the Metro HASTIS grant application. They requested $900,000 for a three-year project, and I heard you say that you recommend funding 2 years because that's what this grant application allows. So would that, would you make the assumption that it's $300,000 a year, and so then really what they might be requesting is $600,000 over 2 years, and that might free up $300,000. Is that?
Yes, that would be our, if you were to decide to fund more than the $200,000 that was recommended by staff, it would be appropriate to approve two of the 3 years. And because we will be programming fiscal year 27-28 state transit assistance funding program in the future, we're not programming it right now.
And so Metro would have the opportunity to apply for that following year in the next consolidated grant application process?
If the commission decided again to combine the STA as part of this consolidated grants.
And then that $900,000, based on the commissioner's recommendation or the application from Metro, would the color of money be STA funding, which means that it couldn't be used for alternative projects that are proposed?
Some of the funding, STA funding, is only available for transit operations and capital projects. So some of STA funds could be used on a project like the University of California at Santa Cruz projects as well, their transit project. It could also be used on some of the other Metro projects. So all of the Metro projects are eligible for state transit assistance funding. So it's kind of a, if we give Metro all of the STA funds, then that frees, you know, then there's other money for some of the other projects. One thing I failed to mention is that off the top, we need $191,000 of the STIP funds to do the work that this California Transportation Commission requires us to do for planning, programming, monitoring. So it's kind of a shuffling. It's not a one-to-one because we could give Metro the Beach Street project parking lot could get funded with STA funds.
So you're getting at where I'm headed with this, yeah. Which is that I understand that the recommendation from the commissioners did not include that sort of off the top administration fee. And I'm wondering if that might be found by funding the Metro project for 2 years rather than 3 years. It's a suggestion for the commission to consider when we get to a motion.
And to clarify, I think that the recommendation we brought forward included a total of $1.988 million for Metro. My understanding is that of the funds that are restricted, it's about $1.55 million that's transit restricted. So I think that there's still, if we did reduce the Metro funding by $300,000 there, that it would effectively be available to allocate to other projects. And I mean, potentially we could indicate some priority for funding that additional year of HASTIS in a future cycle.
Any other commissioners?
Commissioner Quiros Carter is online with their hand raised.
Go ahead, Commissioner Quiros Carter.
Thank you. I have a question for Planner Morricone. I heard the first two recommendations for the Watsonville projects at $850,000 and $1.6 million, but I didn't hear the recommended amount for the Pennsylvania project. Would you be able to share that?
Sure. Yesenia, can you go back one slide? So for City of Watsonville, the staff recommendation is in that final column there, and we recommended for Pennsylvania $777,000
of the $1 million that was requested.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Any other commissioners' questions? Commissioner,
I don't know. Yes, just a statement. So as many of you know, I do a lot of walking around our community. So I see some of the deteriorated streets and sidewalks, outdated sidewalks on Clifford. They go back to the 60s, I believe. But anyways, so today I want to strongly recommend that the RTC approves the funding, the vital funding for the infrastructure, including Pennsylvania Drive Trail Rehabilitation, Clifford Avenue Road Rehabilitation and Traffic Calming, and Freedom Boulevard Road Rehabilitation and Traffic Calming projects. Continuing to delay these essential improvements is becoming increasingly unsustainable as it declines infrastructure. On these three main corridors in Watsonville poses a serious risk to my community, especially our seniors, families, and individuals with disabilities. It is crucial that we develop a safe and accessible pathway to enable the community members to move around with confidence. And I see this happening with high-speed traffic coming through our roads, people not wanting to come out of their homes because it's not safe, especially with our seniors. So I strongly recommend that we approve this funding today. Thank you.
Commissioner Hernandez.
First, I want to say, you know, it's going to sound odd, but I totally agree 100% with Mr. Brian Peoples' comments regarding equity. I think that it really resonates and hits home when you talk about equity, especially today. I felt it was a heartfelt comment that you made about equity. That said, also, I'm really excited, kind of echoing Commissioner Leonore's comments. I'm really excited about the three projects that the city of Watsonville is getting. Freedom Boulevard, of course, everybody knows that Freedom Boulevard, there's been fatalities by bicyclist fatalities, pedestrian fatalities, and even a lot of vehicular fatalities. Just recently, during the beginning of summer, there was a young football player from Cabrillo that just crashed into another car there, and it was a fatal accident. So, and same with Pennsylvania. People, that area has had liquefaction issues and slippage, and so the trail that people traverse to get to the medical centers throughout our city, people walk to there through that trail. And even now, when the city closed the trail, people still walk through it, but it's an unsafe situation where people may fall, older folks may fall. And same with the Clifford area. There's elementary schools that are close to there. And there's different schools that across the street, across the highway that people walk to. And obviously folks in the morning just go on their cars really fast. They're on their phones, and it needs the bike and pedestrian safety in that neighborhood as well, because so many children live in that area as well. That being said, I do want to ask a few questions. I got four questions. I want to see if staff can elaborate why no county maintained projects were included in the original recommendations.
Sure. So the staff recommendations were ranked and evaluated against the evaluation criteria that were approved by the board. So in looking at projects, if a project included safety elements, for instance, and articulated those safety elements in their application, they received a high ranking, high, medium, or low score, or no score for that category. Similarly, whether it was located in an equity priority community, that
that's been identified by the equity work group and the commission. That was another consideration. Did the project improve bicycle and pedestrian facilities and access? That was another consideration. So when you look, and then system preservation absolutely is very important, and maintaining our existing system is very important. But when looking at the project in the local road rehab projects in the unincorporated areas of the county, they didn't integrate those other components into their application, or they didn't articulate it in their application, so they were ranked lower. They did not receive as high of scores.
So staff is pretty much well aware of what this criteria or the rubric is for.
Yes,
these
the county staff is part of the interagency technical advisory committee that provides input on those criteria, and it's very spelled out in the application, and there's a different box where folks provide and can elaborate on how their project will advance each of those criteria.
And my other question is, how are we currently factoring geographic equity or access for rural residents? Is there some type of scoring in this matrix for that to kind of address the unincorporated equity?
Sure. So we do not currently have a metric that's focused on rural communities. That said, we do, as far as projects improve safety in rural areas, that was taken into consideration, for instance, for the San Lorenzo Valley Complete Streets project. So that did weigh in there. Overall, the staff recommendations were not allowed by federal regulations to distribute funds on a formula basis, but we did look at where all of the staff recommended projects were located, and that's on page 18-8 of your packet, and about 48% of the funds that are recommended by staff are located in unincorporated areas. That doesn't mean all of those are in the most rural parts. That also includes funding that was recommended for segments 9 through 11 of the Coastal Rail Trail, which is a bit more urbanized than things like Bear Creek Road or Empire Grade and Inner Lake and Casserly Road.
So there is, you know, I do notice that there is some gaps in the unincorporated areas. Would staff support coordinating earlier with jurisdictions and the commission next time to help avoid these type of gaps?
We absolutely will. And, you know, some of the other, this has come up in past funding cycles, and some of the other jurisdictions have mentioned that they have many, everyone has billions of dollars worth of needs. As shown in our regional transportation plan. But what project sponsors oftentimes do is they try to identify the needs in their community to match up with what the criteria are for a different funding program. So if it's affordable housing, sustainable communities grants, they look at projects that will fit and compete well there. And so that has come up before, but I will make sure that our staff reemphasizes that to all project sponsors the next time, the importance of the evaluation criteria and meeting those.
And lastly, was there any additional letters of support for any of the projects that got submitted? We don't have access to the info website.
The full applications are actually linked in the staff recommendations in the staff report, so you can look at every single application. Only a few project sponsors included support letters. What they most agencies did instead was describe maybe the development of their active transportation plan or their Vision Zero plan or their downtown specific plan or other planning efforts that they did that included significant public input. So that was the route that we took. We did not require support letters.
I'm referring to the ones that people email in to us, the commissioners.
Oh, sure. So all of the letters of support or in opposition to certain projects are included as attachment 3 to the staff report, and then also were included as handouts today. And there were, I think we received several dozen comment letters from different entities and individuals.
So I bring up the letters. I just passed out some of the few letters that we received, but I'd like the commissioners to also receive the letters. You know, in theme of the equity that Mr. Peoples was talking about, I want to say that we have about, as you mentioned, just over $15 million available to fund 26 projects that total over $66 million. And all these are good projects. The challenge before us is finding a balance that serves our entire community, that's equitable, and not just in certain areas. I did notice that every district got projects in both their cities and their unincorporated areas. And obviously, I did notice that District 4 didn't get any for their unincorporated. That said, I do represent the city as well, but those weren't submitted by the county. You know, the unincorporated areas of the county make up roughly half our population and half our road miles. Yet, under the current RTC staff recommendation, none of that funding goes to county-maintained roads in District 3, 4, and 5. The commissioner's proposal does improve on that. It adds funding for Districts 3 and 5, but still leaves out unincorporated areas of District 4. The corridor, SoCal Aptos corridor? Okay. But it's not, Aptos is not a city, it's unincorporated still. So, but this matters because many residents in our rural communities don't have access to buses, bike lanes, or sidewalks. Casterly, for example, there's not even bus lanes that go there. And one of the routes that during the winter floods has over 4,400 passengers a day, or cars per day. And when it floods, it all goes to Casterly. It serves as an emergency route for Paulson when Paulson's closed. Yet you'll still find people trying to go through Paulson when it rains and it's flooded, but it's an important road for our community as well. They rely entirely on roadways there. And those rural roads meet all of the RTC's top priorities from safety, access, resiliency, equity. So they deserve a share of the funding. We also need to look at which projects already have other funding sources. For example, Highway 9 has a $10 million from the Measure D plus Caltrans funding. Projects like Rail Trail, Metro have multiple state and federal funding opportunities. To make the plan more balanced, I'd like to recommend a few small adjustments to the commissioner's proposal. I really do like the commissioner's proposal, but it leaves District 4 unincorporated empty.
Can I just interject real quick? I do recommend that the board hold off on making their recommendations until after the public hearing. But if there's questions, just for procedure, sometimes that's the way we want to.
Well, I'll just finish with this. Okay. The changes only affect unincorporated county projects. I want to make sure that the city of Watsonville remains untouched. Big projects like SoCal Corridor remain untouched because I believe in all the facets that the commissioner's report has, from bike and pedestrian safety, all those issues, the three issues they addressed. But I want to make sure that every part of the county, including District 4, benefits from today's meeting.
Commissioner Cohen.
Chair, thank you. I just want to briefly address your comments, Supervisor and Commissioner Hernandez. As you pointed out, certainly putting more money towards some of the unincorporated routes was one of the things we felt with the recommendation that we needed to improve upon as far as staff's recommendation goes. Particularly Bear Creek Road has, I think, 15,000 drivers a day. I mean, it's a heavily used arterial. I don't know exactly what the figure is for Empire Grade, but of course it's an incredibly critical route as well. The reason that in the proposal we did not put more funding towards Interlochen was actually just because Watsonville had done so well in the other categories. I mean, if you look at the proportion of funding in the recommendations, I mean, even looking at these commissioner recommendations here, the by population share For Watson will be around 16%, and yet 23% of the total funds was recommended for Watsonville projects. And so since those are all squarely in District 4, I believe it's 80% of your constituents actually live within the city limits of Watsonville. We felt that none of us could get everything they wanted, and that there was still quite a bit of geographic equity in, as far as this proposal goes. You know, that said, I look forward to hearing whatever it is that you propose.
You know, I'm not denying anything about the three projects in Watsonville. I'm completely excited about it. And I've had constituents tell me since the time I was on the council about those three areas. Freedom has been talked about since 2012 when I was on the council. And I don't want commissioners to pit two Watsonville projects, the unincorporated and the city, to fight for the crumbs. I'm just trying to address the inequities in the unincorporated areas.
Yeah, no. Could I make a point of procedure? I think it's important we hear from the public. There's supposed to be a public hearing, and the commissioners can discuss the recommendations once we hear what the public has to say.
So we'll go with any other questions. We're going to move forward with public comment. So I'll bring it back to the commission for appropriate motion and discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Kelly? Well, Keely? Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the staff recommendation with the following changes. Commissioner's recommendation, thank you, on the add-on letter that we submitted a couple of days ago. We'll move that as the core motion with the following changes to that. One, to reduce the HASTUS project by $300,000 to $600,000. Add the RTC's STIP planning programming monitoring, increase that by $191,000. To go to the supervisor's comments earlier, add Santa Cruz County Interlake and Route resurfacing project phase one, increase that by $436,000, and reduce the Santa Cruz County routes resurfacing by $436,000 in a like amount. There is the motion, sir.
Thank you.
I'll second.
So it's been first and second. Any other discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to offer a friendly amendment to the maker of the motion, if I could. With looking at the math here, there's roughly $100,000 that we have left that we can do something with. I would like to move that we dedicate and allocate that $100,000 to the city of Capitola for their complete streets sidewalk infill project.
No objection.
None from the second either.
So, Mr. Chairman, on the motion, if I might. Thank you, sir. And Mr. Chairman, I associate myself with the other comments, and I tried to make them initially as well, to thank our staff for a quite thoughtful and serious effort. It is always the case that there are more needs than there are funds available, and I think this was a very thoughtful process by the staff. The gentleman from the Public Works Department, Watsonville, is right. I think that this is equal parts arts and not equal parts. It is parts art and science. And the degree to which the art comes into it is the part that we elected officials are elected to do, to exercise our judgment about issues that are perhaps less quantifiable than the kinds of things we ask staff to do. And so I think the combination of very good staff work together with some truing up of the needs as we assess them is what is recommended here. I want to thank Commissioner Koenig and the others who have participated in this. My colleague to my left, who has been quite helpful in Scotts Valley, Mr. Chairman, yourself, Supervisor Martinez, all of those who have within the boundaries of the Bound Act, collaborated to find a way to go here that we think solves a lot of problems and keeps us, in my estimation, keeps faith with the voters on previous actions relative to things like freeways, rail, trails, resurfacing, and so on, that we are doing that in an honorable way that has a lot of integrity. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Strickland.
Thank you. I'm going to support the motion, despite the fact my commissioner's name was not just mentioned to be thanked for his participation in the process.
In the event that I failed to thank, thank you, sir.
But I did want to make a few comments. One had to do with the presentation from the Public Works Director of Watsonville about the shifting of funding. As I added it up, the amount going to Watsonville in the staff recommendation, the amount going to Watsonville in the commissioner's recommendation is essentially almost the same, is maybe a $25,000 difference. It does redirect to the different projects a little bit. And I just want to ask staff if, as part of the discussion about how to fund each of these, whether there can be the flexibility to move a little bit more from this project to a little bit more to that project, if that works for making the projects more feasible from the city's point of view.
So your question is if the city of Watsonville were to decide that they wanted more money for, say, Pennsylvania Avenue than for Freedom Boulevard, would they be able to move money between those projects?
Or vice versa, right?
They cannot. We do not allow that, but we do have an item scheduled for December to bring forward some amendments to previously approved projects that were approved by this board in the last 2 to 7 years, actually, and we could integrate that into that item if project sponsors had indicated that these amounts would result in an infeasible project.
So I would suggest for the Watsonville Public Works Director, if this is an issue, that be worked out with staff. I think the total amount seems reasonable, and I support it. Whether it's more or less in this or in that project, that really should be, I think, the Watsonville decision. I'm happy to see that the motion includes specific funding for the Interlochen project. That was a concern that I know was brought to our attention, and we were concerned about it. My understanding was that maybe that Interlochen project could be funded out of the $3 million that was being recommended for the emergency routes, but to the extent that it can be a significant portion of it can be designated as part of this action, I think that's desirable too. I know that it's an $800,000 project. Like so many of the projects that we have before us, they have to be built up over time. And I think that's a significant, this would be a significant contribution to that. So I do also want to thank staff for all their work. I want to speak to the notion of the rail trail and the rail study. As commissioners know, as members of the public know, I'm a strong supporter, and Commissioner Cummings is a strong supporter of both the rail trail projects 8 through 11 and the rail moving forward with the rail project. And you know, my sense is that this is a step along the way. My biggest fear, and I would encourage those who are concerned about the commission looking at alternatives, is how much at risk that $120 million is if we are not able to build a trail. And we have a limited amount of time, and we do not have the money to build it. We are $60 to $70 million out. And the CTC made it very clear that they're not going to give us the same amount of money that's in the grant to do less of the project. So I think really the what's before the commission, and which really is certainly motivating my actions here, is a recognition that if we want to get a trail from Santa Cruz to State Park Drive, we're going to have to look at alternatives. And I do not support rail banking, and I don't want to see the commission move in the direction of rail banking, but I don't see how we can build it. There appears to be no way to build the trail. So as I see what this recommendation, what the recommendations do here and with the next item on the Measure D 5-year plan, is it's trying to leave open the option and continue the commission's longstanding commitment to pursue a passenger rail service on the line, at the same time as allowing the commission to move forward funding from the funding available for the rail trail segments to allow for the final designs to be done on that project. So that I think the commission, from my perspective, is in a very difficult. Point. I think over the next few months, the commission's going to have to decide what its priorities are in terms of, do we want to have a trail at all? Do we want to move forward with rail? And I think that members of the public hopefully will understand the limits that the commission is having to work under. Thank you.
Thank you. Any public comment? Commissioner Hernandez?
Yes, quick comment. First of all, I want to thank Commissioner Keeley and all the signers of the commissioner's report. A big thank you to making this plan more balanced as well. I think these adjustments that were made keep us on track with safety improvements for bikes, pedestrians, and maintain full support for things like the zero emissions, the trail project, Metro, Bear Creek, Empire Grade, Freedom, and SoCal projects. Finally, I want to encourage us to work earlier and more closely with local jurisdictions in future funding cycles so our recommendations are fair and balanced and equitable from the start. And that's it.
Thank you. Seeing no other commissioner, Commissioner Lane?
Mr. Chair, if I may, just for the record, since we modified some of the requirements, it also requires one minor edit to the resolution. So if the commission has framed the motion, those numbers that you've allocated are all reflected in exhibits to the resolution that's in your packet. And so the motion that the commission would be considering would be the commissioner's recommendations as modified by Commissioner Keeley's comments and as further modified by the further addition by Commissioner Clark that was agreed to, as I understand it, by the motion maker and the second. And then that would be reflected into the resolution as Exhibit A. So those would be the final numbers. And then there's one minor change to Section 2 of the resolution. It currently references the current recommendation of $2.8 million of STIP funds for the Zephyr project, and that's reduced down to $1 million in your actions. And with that, the resolution is ready for action.
Mr. Chairman, the motion will reflect the advice of counsel.
Yeah. With that, can I get a roll call?
Commissioner Jensen? Commissioner Keeley?
Aye.
Commissioner Clark?
Aye.
Commissioner Montesino?
Yes.
Commissioner Hernandez?
Yes.
Commissioner Alternate Shiffrin?
Aye.
Commissioner DeSerpa?
Aye.
Commissioner Koenig?
Aye.
Commissioner Martinez?
Aye.
Commissioner Quitos Carter?
Aye.
I believe Commissioner Downing also stepped away. Commissioner Leonor?
Yes.
That passes unanimously.
Thank you. And thank you for all the hard work to staff and commissioners.
I'm here. I voted aye. I did not step away. I just wanted to clarify.
No, she was talking about Commissioner Downing that stepped away. So with that, we're going to go on to the public hearing of Measure D 5-year program of projects and regional projects and lift line.